Okay, so we began last week discussing the topic of Eish, and especially the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether Eisho is Mishum Chitzo or Mishum Mamono. And we didn't get a chance to go through the Gemara, just the beginning and the kind of in the end, so I want to fill in the middle and just reformulate the problem and the issue. So again, we started off by noting, that the two things. Number one, that Eish is treated differently in the Mishnah than the other Avos Nezikin, and in several respects. Number one, it has it's referred to by two different names. Again, the Rishonim already and some of the Achronim as well note some of these anomalies. And, again, they make different suggestions. Some of the suggestions, kind of dismiss these issues or see them as being very narrow issues. Others, see them as being more central, and I'm looking for patterns. So, just suffice to say that there are two or three different points that should be at least accentuated. The first is, again, that the Mishnah speaks about Arba Avos Nezikin, Shor Bor Hamava da Hever. So the word for Eish is Hever, based on the language of the Psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. And Hamabir Sabera. And at the same time, when the Mishnah wants to tell you that there are differences between the different Avos Nezikin, and it wants to highlight what is singular about Eish, namely that it doesn't have Ruach Chaim, that's an inanimate, not an animate object, so uses the expression Eish, even though previously it was the expression Hever. Could be nothing, but there are at least some Mefarshim in Shittim Kubetzes, we'll hopefully see it later today, that think that it is significant, and that maybe that's the Mishnah's way of relating to two different ideas within Eish. The idea of Eisha Mishum Chitzav and Eisha Mishum Amono, which is the central topic that we're going to, that we began with last time, we're going to continue to pursue now. So again, if that's already hinted at in the Mishnah, that's a very remarkable thing. We need to understand all of that. Secondly, as Tosis points out in the Beis Amin Aleph, while there are kulas and chumras associated with most of the Avos Nezikin, at least Tosis suggests that the reason the Mishnah says, lo hare ashor, kare amav, lo amav, kare ashor, that it says, and neither of them are like Eish, which doesn't have Ruach Chaim, as we just mentioned. But it doesn't ever flip it. It doesn't ever say that that there's a chumra of Eish. It speaks of Eish as having a kula, but it never speaks of it as having a chumra. In other words, if you knew that that Eish, was a chayiv. There should be some, nonetheless, you shouldn't be able to derive from that, Shor, let's say, Mabe and Bor are Chai. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. And yet, that is never spelled out. So Tosa says on Beis Amin Aleph, Eish doesn't have a Chumra. And that Koach Achar Me'ura Bo, which is the idea which we'll discuss a little more fully in a couple of minutes, namely, that you harness a natural force in Eish. It's not solely the act of the owner or of that which is owned by the owner. It isn't the Eish alone, it's the combination of Eish, either fuel or Ruach, etc. Say Ruach, more obvious case, which is Koach Achar Me'urabo. So it objectively, it's hard to know whether that's a Kula or a Chumra. Does the fact that there's no, that the combining of force behind the Eish is something that is a koach acher or koach, is that something that makes it more of a reason to make it chayiv or more reason to make it potter? Because if you ask me this question subjectively, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I mean, I would be able to argue both sides of it, and I might even say to you that it depends on your point of view. In other words, if what you're interested in is integrating the act of niske mamon with the act of the owner or the responsible individual, I would think that koach achar me'urabo actually is a chumra, not a kula. because unlike, let's say, shore, where the animal has, you know, it's not, the animal's not a bardas, but the animal has a mind of its own, right? I mean, it does things because of its own nature and its own personality and its own force, right? But the kolach achar ma'urav, you know, whatever that is, let's say the wind, you know, we don't consider the wind to have its own personality. So it doesn't distract from or detract from, right, the responsible party. You know, he's supposed to find out what the weather report is, and he's supposed to, you know, integrate that in his conduct and behavior. So if you ask me, koch hacham urabo, relative to, you know, let's say shore, if we're talking about the impact that it has on perceiving the result as being connected to the human, is actually a chumra. On the other hand, if you see it as the responsibility that you have, you know, vis-a-vis your own property, so it isn't only your property that damaged here, it's a combination of your property and natural forces, so there's a yet another force here that, you know, spreads the blame, if you will, and that's a kula. So if you just ask me, and basically what I'm saying is borne out by the facts. I mean, that sounds like a big statement, but it is true. I mean, if you look at where the Gemara uses koach achar me'urabo, the pashtus, you know, without any kind of further commentary or narrative, there are Gemaras in which it appears as a kula, and there are Gemaras in which it appears as a chumra. And, for example, Gimel Amud Beis, which is what we started with, and Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara is interested in told the same kiyotze lav kiyotze, whether the tolda of each av is like the av. So it says, well, what's a tolda of esh? This is what we read last week. Avonos akino maso shenicha barosh gago. Right? V'nafal v'ruach mitzuya. You had an object, you put it in a place where it's likely, right, to be turned into a projectile by the wind, right? And it damages bedera chilucho. And it causes damage, you know, as it's being projected, you know, by the wind. So the Gemara says, well, that's told to the Eish, but it should be like Eish, because like Eish, it has the characteristic of Koach Achar Me'urabo. So that doesn't sound like the Gemara saying that it's a Kula. It sounds like the Gemara saying it should be Chayiv, just like the Av should be Chayiv, because just like the Av, you know, it has the basis for Chil, namely Koach Achar Me'urabo. I mean, it's a Chumra. There are other Gemaras where the Gemara seems to say the opposite. What supports Tosas is, again, in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, it doesn't have Ruach Chaim, if that's what it means, that's certainly a Kula. In the Gemara later on, you know, talks about the Kula of this one and the Chumra of that one, and it doesn't mention the Chumra of Eish. So that's Tosas' big diuk, that indeed Eish doesn't have a Chumra. So Tosfos says, what do you do with the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis? And again, the same Gemara appears on that Vav. So Tosfos says, no, the Gemara didn't mean it. It says it, but it didn't mean it. What it meant is that just like Eish, right, even though it has a Kula, we're still Machmir, and here too also, even though it has a Kula, we should still be Machmir. So the even though we should still, doesn't say that in the Gemara. That has to be the reading of the Gemara if you come to the conclusion that Koach Achar Me'urabo is either a Kula or a Chumra. It can't be both, or it can't be two perspectives. Then Tosa says, well, then this is the only way to read the Gemara. And that's fine. Tosa says this on Daf Beis. Tosa says it again on Daf Hamad Beis. They hint at it a few different places as well. But the Rajba, on Daf Gimel, says what, you know, basically what I said, or I said what the Rajba says, which is that sometimes Koach Achar Me'urabo appears as a Kula, and sometimes it appears as a Chumra. Then, in other places on Hamad Beis, you know, the Rajba mostly subscribes to Tosfos' position. But other Rishonim, you know, expand on what the Rajba says on Gimel Amud Beis, and they say, well, you know, there are elements of both here. It's a Kula sometimes, and a Chumra sometimes. Anyways, either way, this characteristic and this, you know, role in the Mishnah is unique. We don't have that with any. We probably don't have any other of the Avos Hazikim that don't also have a Chumra, with the exception of also a Bor. The Tosa says about Bor, we could have found a Chumra for Bor, Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek, Because Meirosh, when you, as soon as you build it, as building it is already, you know, l'shem nezek, whatever that means. That could be two meanings. But Tosa says, so we know that, but we don't mention it in the Mishnah because once we disrupted, you know, with Eish, it wouldn't look good. Okay, so even Bor's unique treatment in Tosas is attributed to Eish, which is fascinating. So again, just Eish is treated differently. The other factor, of course, is the question of the relationship between Eish and Adam, and that's especially relevant to the Shaka Matari that we're about to return to, and that's the question of Eishim Shemchitzo, Eishim Shemamona. That is, that Mimonashach. Again, there's this debate in the Gemara that we're about to rejoin, that is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Eisho is Mishum Chitzav. Meaning we look at Eish as like an arrow, like something, Koach Adam, something that, you know, comes from your force. And if that's the case, then there, as we'll see in the Gemara, it seems to be that that's a way of saying that Eish is an aspect of Adam. I mean, it's connected to the world of Adam Amazek. But the problem with that is, and this Rishonim speak of Shinu Betz as well, I'll show you all these things hopefully later today, these discussions, but if that's the case, then Mimonashach. We know there's a debate in the Mishnah whether Mabe in the Mishnah is considered to be Shein or Adam, right? That's a debate between Rav and Shmuel. So if you hold like Rav, then Mabe is Adam, so you already have Mabe Adam in the Mishnah. Why would you have Eish? What would be the point of it? If Eish shows Mishum Chitza, right? And, you know, that's just very, very peculiar. And if we hold like Shmuel, which is that Mabe is not Adam, well, why is Adam not in the Mishnah? So the Gemara seems to say a few places, because there's a difference between Niskei Mamon and Adam Alazik. But if you think that Eish is Mishum Chitzav, so you don't have the question, why is Adam in the Mishnah twice? But you have another question, and that is, if Adam's not supposed to be in the Mishnah, why is Eish in the Mishnah if Eish is part of Adam? Then in addition to that, we noted that according to Rashi on the Mishnah, when he encounters Hever, Eish, says Minalan, and quotes the Pasuk, Kiseitze Eish. And similarly, the Rambam in Perek Yudal and Halacha Aleph, after quoting the Din of Eish, says V'ha Eish, you know, who, you know, min avos hanazikin. He doesn't say that by the others, and Rashi doesn't provide a pasuk, you know, for the others in the Mishnah. And again, this was noticed. So why is everybody so defensive, you know, practically, you know, apologetic, you know, about Eish? What is it about Eish that gets treated in this very unique way? So I think the answer to all these questions is found in this very fascinating discussion or debate in the Gemara. So that's what I want to get to. We started with it last time. We did some of the issues, but I want to go through the Shaka Vataria and see how the transition takes place in Sukkah. So let's start with that. So the Gemara here is on Chaf Bei Samad Aleph. It's a very, very important Gemara, which goes as follows. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eish Mishum Chitzav. Everybody have it? Towards the top of the page, it's at the two dots. It is six lines down from the top of the page. Okay? Itmar. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eish Mishum Chitzav. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Eish is like an arrow. Okay? And Rashi explains, Chivu akasuv de'iu ka'ovid de'havik hazorei chetz. It's as if he himself did this nezek, right? As if he shot an arrow. When a person shoots an arrow, right, that is adam amazek. So it sounds like Eish mishum chitzav, if we take it literally, means that Eish is a form of adam amazek. Okay. Reish Lakish amar Eish mishum mamono. Reish Lakish said, no, the Eish does the damage, not the person does the damage by means of the Eish. You don't say the Chetz does the damage. right? The chetz is the means, the mechanism that is used for man, you know, and his koach to damage. However, if we say esha mishum amono, we mean that the esh does the damage, but you are responsible for the damage that this esh does. Notice I'm saying the word this esh and avoiding the word your esh. The reason I'm doing that is because that is a debate between Rashi and Tosaf. If you look here at Rashi, Rashi says, mishum amono, kishoro uboro, that esh, right, is not like Adam, or not an aspect of Adam Amazik. Instead, it is like shore and bore. It's like an animal that you own or a pit that you dig that you're responsible for, that's connected to you. This is Rashi's own Hosafa. The Ika Benayu, that an afkamina between them will be, meaning between Chitzav and Mamono, Kagon, Shehidlik Bekachela She'ena Shalo. Let's say he burnt down his neighbor's barn, but with a gacheles, with a coal as a source of the fire, did not belong to him. Till Rabbi Yochanan chayev the chitzavein. Rabbi Yochanan will say, "Who cares? It's not the chetz. The chetz is merely the means for Adam Amazik, and he's the Adam." Well, Reish Lakish, who thinks that the focus is on the eish, and according to Rashi, that means ownership of the eish. Right, so in this circumstance is Potter the Lav Mamonahu. It's not his Mamon. Tosas disagrees on this point. If you look here, Tosas says, Esho Mishum Mamono. Well, an Esho Mishum Chitza already, Rashi, Tosas makes an important comment, so you might as well get that in. Lo Sheyavir Ba'atzmo Ha'esh, Ela Komokom Shepasha V'Lashomer Gachalaso Chitza Ninu. Right. You can always see almost that Rashi, you know, is a little bit more extreme in Eishem Mishum Chitzav. We'll see this going forward. Rashi seemed to also be quoting Rabosav, some earlier Perush, that is, you know, that dilutes or moderates in a very significant way what Eishem Mishum Chitzav is. But Rashi's own tendency is to look at Eishem Mishum Chitzav in very radical terms, you know, that Eishem Mishum Chitzav, you know, basically means Adam Amazik. So Tosas, you know, is a little bit more moderating to begin with. Tosas says, don't think that Eishem Mishum Chitzav means that you have to be the one to ignite the fire. As long as there's a fire that is under your control, or you can control it or manage it, or your responsibility, right, and you are negligent allowing the fire to spread, even if you didn't actually engender the fire, that's still Eishem Mishum Chitzav. Okay, that's important to know. So, Lo Sheyavir Ba'atzmo Ha'esh Alekom Makom Shepasha V'Lashom Gachalaso Chitzav Ninu. Likewise, for Rashi, Eishem Mishum Mamono is an extreme. It means that your Eish, literally, is treated like your Mamon, like a shore and a boar. Well, forget the boar for the moment. And therefore, like a shore, you have to literally own it. Right? And we'll see that Tosas disagrees. Tosas says, Klomar, Chiyuv Mamono Yeshbo. Again, the reason he says the word Klomar is because he is very defensive about the word Mamono. Because typically, Mamono means, you know, Bibaluso, I mean, he owns it. Your money. So what Tosas wants to say is not, we don't mean that ownership is a prerequisite for Chiyuv Eishem Mishum Mamono. Rather, Chiyuv Mamono Yeshbo. It's not Adam Amazik, but like Mamono, right, the focus is on the agent of the destruction, right, rather than, right, the man behind it. That's what we mean. It's a din in Mamono Yeshbo. V'lo she ha'esh shelo. We don't mean that he has to own it. Tafilu hidlik be'esh shel acher, chayiv. K'derash in Perka Kones is a good claim. Kofef komoso shel chaveiro b'fnei adleiko. Let's say there's a fire. It's already raging. And it's going in a certain path, a certain trajectory. So what he does is he takes komoso shel chaveiro, the attached, you know, the produce Levi goes into Shimon's field and pulls Shimon's stalks right in the path of the fire that Reuven started. Okay? So this this instigator is neither the owner of the produce, otherwise, he's just destroying his own produce, nor is he the owner of the fire. Right? And nonetheless, such example in the Mishnah, says it's not only if you, if you're connected to the fire part, if you're connected to placing the object, in harm's way or in damage way, then you're chai for that. But presumably, most cases, that'll be a situation where you're not the Baal Dini Mamanus of the H. Tosa says this proves that even though the Gemara uses the expression sometimes, Mamono, it doesn't mean ownership. It means it's a Mamono, it's a Niske Mamon, rather than an Adama Mazik type of Chiyuv. That's what we really mean by it. And that's what he says. And therefore, if it catches, on in a anticipated ruach mitzuya, that you'll be chayv. And similarly, gabi gets yotzer b'tachas apatish. Let's say you're hammering on metal, right, and that generates sparks, right. So afal gab the mistama mafkirle. What you want to take ownership of the sparks that you produce, right? They don't benefit you in any way. So the Mishnah says later on that if, that those sparks end up, causing damage, that you, the person who created them, are going to be chai. So presumably you're not interested in owning them, right? Now here, we'll get to both cases in just a second. Va'od, the einacha adam shizchai b'dleika shiyafkir hagachalim v'yadli gadish shochaneiro. Right, any intelligent mazik, right, is going to neutralize any kind of liability in all cases. So let's say it's his gachelas or his matches, right, and he lights the fire, so he'll be mafkir, the fire. Doesn't do him any good, and it just brings him liability. So he'll be mafkir the fire, and there's no more Yishum Yishum Amonu, according to Rashi. Right? Therefore, Veloka Pirish HaKuntras, the Pirish Dika Benayu, the Adlik B'gachel HaShem Yishum. The Shittu B'Kubetza says that the Kofeth Komaso Shal Chavero case isn't the case of Yishum Yishum Amonu. He thinks that's called Eish B'Adayim, which is fascinating. I'm not quite sure why that should be. In other words, because you move, it's interesting, if you look at Tosas Andaf Nun Vav, where this sugya really appears, Kofif Komoso Shokavero Bepliad Leika, Tosas says, in general, when it comes to Mazikim, that, one might have thought that there's a difference between, being Makarev HaMazik LaHanizak, LaHanizak, and being Makarev HaNizak LaHamazik. Right? However, Tosa says, while one might have thought that, it just isn't true, and this is something that comes up, in other contexts as well. If you look here on Tosa on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, just for a second, Nun Vav Amud Aleph. If you look, this is the Gemara is talking about the case on the top line of Nun Vav Amud Aleph in the Gemara. Where it says Omar Kofif Kamasa Shochaver Bifnead Leika. That's he bends his fellow, the Kamasa Shochaver Bifnead Leika. So the Gemara says Hey Chadami Ilei Medamati Baruch Mitzuya. If it's vulnerable to an Eish Baruch Mitzuya, then Bedine Adam Nami Nechayev. Right, then he should be Chayev Dine Mamanus. El demati baruch sheinu mitzuya, Rav Ashi, Talmud itmar, deshavi tomen be'esh. Okay, fine. So if you look at Tosas, the top Tosas, Tosas says, Vim tomar, kiven she'ein chilik ben mekarev davar etzol ha'esh, ben mekarev ha'esh etzol davar, amai amrinu beperakol anisrafin, right, kofso b'makom shesof chama o tzina lavo potor. Right, l'chayev l'man domar im shem chitzo, v'ken kofaso l'fnei ari. Okay, the details aren't important. Basically, but you see the first line in Tosfos. Tosfos says, if the chiddush of this Gemara is that it doesn't matter whether or not the mazik, you know, is on the move, or your makarev the davar hanizak lahamazik. Tosfos, then why isn't that true? Why does it not seem to be true? And you'll see what they say about it in another con, not today. But in the sugya in Sanhedrin, ayin zayin umanav. Let's just say you have, the hot sun. So if you bring somebody, you tie somebody up, you know, so he can't move, and then you're going to put him in the sun, so he'll suffer sunstroke, and you know he'll be injured or die or whatever it is. He can die actually in this case. Or you bring him to the Arctic, you know, and you leave him there to freeze. So there's a discussion in the Gemara, you know, whether or not, you know, whether you keep your metzamtzem, you keep him in one place, and the sun or the cold weather comes and accomplishes the task, or you bring him closer to it. That's what Tos is referring to. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ayin Zayin. But that we're going to look at anyway, probably next week. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that it's a bit of a chiddush. One could have thought that, you know, being makariv the nizak lamazik is actually a bigger chiddush than less obvious, in other words, that you're chayim, than being makariv hamazik etzal hanizak. Nonetheless, the Shita Mekubetza says that kofeif komaso shel chavero. To answer Rashi, what's Rashi going to do with that sugya? If you really need mamono, he says that's more than Eishem Mishem mamono. Since you're moving, you're actually physically, you know, moving the nizak into a place where it's now vulnerable to the fire. You know, everybody will agree that's like Adama Mazik. Not so sure why that's so, but. The point is that dealing physically, it's not the question of, I'm just pointing out the irony because, you know, there's actually a chiddush in that case, according to Balei Tos. He's saying a little bit differently. He's saying, since physically you are involved with the Davar HaNizak, that's more than Eishem Mishem Mamon. Even though it's only putting it in a direction, you know, putting it in the path of the destructive entity. As for the Getz case, what you might say is there you've created the fire. You know, that's the ultimate kinyan. You might be mafgert, but still you're the creator of the esh. Right? That might be different than spreading an esh, you know, which is not your esh and which already exists. Anyways, this is a major debate between Rashi and Tosfos. But what's interesting about it is that both Eishem Shem Chitzav and Eishem Shem Mamono, Rashi initially goes for the more extreme views. That's Eishem Shem Mamono means pure Adam HaMazik, or so it would appear, and Eishem Shem Mamono means it's like shore. Okay. Either way, yeah.
In the Rashi and Shem Mamono uses the example of taking a gachelas of this...
Chavero.
Doesn't he get kinyan and
gachelas? That's also a question. That's a good question. Well, he doesn't want it, though. That's the point. I mean, he's not interested in. I mean, because he's. I mean, he doesn't necessarily.
You took your friend Shore and directed it to Caleb. Isn't it your responsibility?
Well, it could be a responsibility, but it's not your Shore. You don't acquire a Shore. You're not Gazel.
You acquire a Shore, but as far as the Nezek, I assume you're responsible. Why is that different from the gachelas that you think?
I guess because this gachelas,
by example,
right? I guess this gachelas is dangerous in its own right. You know, it was dangerous originally.
Okay.
So that's a little bit different than the shore.
You're talking about how it's not mamona in the sense that it's not his, but
right. So in this case mamon, you do have to be the owner. You know, or the shomer. I mean, you have to have a legal relationship with the object. If you're what's called meshase, if you instigate the animal to, that might be different, and that might be kind of also like an adam hamazik idea. But typically, you have to not just be able to stop. Let's say somebody else's shore, you know, is in a place where only you, you know, can prevent him, you know, from doing damage. If you're not a shomer or an owner, that's not your responsibility. And what we're saying about Gacheles is that it is. So that's still different. Right. Possibly, again, because, you know, the Gacheles is something that's inherently dangerous, but might be part of the reason. But basically, there is a difference. Technically, there are differences. Okay, again, Bor is a little different because Bor is anyways, you know, Brishas HaRabin. And that's one of the poor things that tells us that the Rishon were pointing out on Gimel Amud Beis. Again, Shnei Dvarim Einim B'Shusa Shalom Masana Kosev Kila B'Shuso. You know, Bor B'Shusa Rab Mechametz Pesach. So Bor is a little bit of a different story, but there actually is a difference. Okay, so then we go back to what we were talking about at the end of last week, and that is why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like Rosh Hashanah, why Rosh Hashanah doesn't like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, B'Rosh Hashanah my taima lo amar ki Rabbi Yochanan. And what is Reish Lakish? What's his objection to Rabbi Yochanan's view? Says the Gemara, Amar lach chitzav mikocho ka'azli, hai lo mikocho ka'azil. So again, this is a very important point, meaning Reish Lakish says it's just an imperfect mashal. Right? You know, a chitzav is koach ha'adam, and that's the end of the story. And the eish is not. And Rashi emphasizes the mimela part of it. Rashi says, hola mikocho, the eish me'ileha holeches, v'doleches l'meirachok. So actually, Rashi doesn't even emphasize the fact that it could be and often is koach ha'achem u'urabo, I mean the role of the ruach, or the role of the fuel, which is less of an intervention, or an extraneous element. Rashi actually just emphasizes the fact that it is passive, that it's mimela, right? And that it is mazik me'rachok, right? So in that sense, you know, it moves on its own. That's different than something where, you know, it goes from place A to place B and does damage, and it's all an extension of the energy, you know, that you invested in it. You propelled this chetz or this evan, right? But here you lit a match, or you allowed a gacheles, and you know, and then it's all moving on its own, you know, and it's going very far. So your koach, right, is not propelling it, you know, to its, you know, to its ultimate goal, to its destiny. So is that really koach adam? Never mind, you could have added koach ha'chamurabo, the fuel. I guess maybe partially Rashi is talking about the fuel itself. But the question is, what did Rabbi Yochanan, what was Rabbi Yochanan thinking? So this is the point that I made last week, and that is that here's where you have the opening, you know, to modify Eishim Shemkitzah somewhat. You can say one of two things. You could say that, again, no one can deny the physical differences between these cases. Right, that's undeniable. The question is whether there's legal significance to that physical difference. So in the end of the day, you could say, well, Rabbi Yochanan thinks not, meaning there's a certain threshold for what constitutes koach ha'adam, and the fact that this is bimeilon l'meirachok, you know, is not enough to undermine it. It still shares enough in common with chitzav and kocho that it's a full chitzav and kocho, thank you very much. And Reish Lakish disagrees on that point. So it's an argument about the criterion of koach ha'adam in the end of the day, not about the status of Eishim Shemchitza. And that's one possibility, and if you say that, then we're sticking to our guns and we're saying that this is basically koach ha'adam. And then, for example, the questions that I mentioned before, you know, why isn't this the same as Adam? And where do we find that, you know, there's Adam HaMazik in the Mishnah, Mave, and then there's also Koach Adam, which is what? Another tolda of a tolda? We don't have other toldos. Actually, the Gemara called it an av, right? So another av, there are two avs we talked again, you know, about a month ago, a month and a half ago, about the Machokas in Rashi and the Rambam, whether kocho, real kocho, I mean throwing a stone, kicho v'nio, spitting, whether that's a tolda or an av of Adam. Whatever it is, I mean, I would say probably the same is true with chitzav and eshem, you know, mishum chitzav. So either you have two avos of Adam, or two examples of Avos Adam or an Avodah Torah. Either way, it's something wrong with the whole Mishnah. Or as I said before, if Adam is not in the Mishnah, so then why is this Adam in the Mishnah? Right? So if you take the view, and then you're going to have other things as well. There should be no discrepancy whatsoever between Adam and Eshem Shemchitza. Now you have a Pesach, at least, to say that that's not what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. What Rabbi Yochanan was saying was, I know that this isn't Adam, because it isn't really Kocho, because Reish Lakish says is absolutely true. However, I think that there's something called Eshem Shemchitza, meaning within, in the world of Niskei Mamon, there's something called there's an Adam within, Adam al Yedei Ha'esh is very close to Adam Becheitz or Adam Be'Evan. Here it's al Yedei Ha'esh, that you don't say al Yedei Ha'evan or al Yedei Ha'chetz. Now, how far do you go with that? That becomes an open question. That's an interesting question. Then, we can answer some of those things in the Mishnah as well, meaning it's not Adam twice, and it's not the Av and the Tolda, and maybe it isn't, Adam, if Adam shouldn't be there. It's something very close to Adam, but it's as far as you can get towards Adam within Nizkei Mamon. And this is what I was suggesting for the Rambam also, in that, the Rambam put Adam HaMazik in Hichos Chovah LaMazik, as we said again and again, and not in Nizkei Mamon, and yet the last parak of Nizkei Mamon is the parak of Eish. And the second last halacha, which we'll examine very soon, in that parak, is the halacha of Eish and Mishamchitza, which the Rambam has a particular take on, which happens to work with this, and we'll get back to that. But my point is, if the Rambam had been a strict constructionist of Eish and Mishamchitza, maybe that it's really like Chetz and Evan and Koach Legamri, then it shouldn't have been in this Nizkei Mamon at all. It just should have been in the Hichos Chovah LaMazik. Right? But it's not. But it is at the edge. It's at the very end of Nizkei Mamon.
It's a bridge.
Right? And what?
It's a bridge.
And again, it isn't a perfect bridge because you have Geneva and Gezela in between. But that's a problem anyway. That's a problem for Adam HaMazik and Nizkei Mamon anyway. But to the extent that these are the halachas that deal with these topics, it's a bridge, as you say. And it's a great bridge. Right? So, these are the two ways, I think, to read the continuation of the Gemara. And what I'm going to suggest going forward is that for the Rambam in particular, this is especially true once you hit the maskana of the Gemara. And that's kind of how he understands it. Maybe the Rambam understood until this point that Eshem Shemchitza means Adam HaMazik. And maybe he only understands that it's the proximate of Adam HaMazik within Nizkei Mamon in the very, very maskana of the Gemara. I'll show you what I mean, because the Rambam read the Gemara differently than most Rishonim read it. I alluded to it last week, but I'll show you inside this week. Anyway, that is one. Similarly, what about Eisha Mishum Amono? So the Gemara says, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan like Reish Lakish? Omar Lach, right? Rabbi Yochanan, my tamalama ke Reish Lakish. Omar Lach, Mamona isbe mamasha, ha leisbo mamasha. Meaning, a shore, and even a boar, Tosis discusses, what about a boar? Is that really mamasha? Especially if you say it's the air quality or the environment, the sense of claustrophobia, all of that. If it's any of that, so is it really mamasha? So Tosis says, well, it's not, it's still mamasha, because you still have to change the structure of the earth in order to generate that kind of an environment. So that's still called what you did to change the contours of the land is still mamasha. This tells us mamona ispe mamasha. So it says afagav the board leispe mamasha shechiva tor lahavala v'lo lechavato mikomoko mamono kein chitzav shadarko leilu kolahazik ispe mamashas. One answer is no, but it's true. Board also has no mamashas, but that's boar. But the holchem umazikim, the kumba say mazikim, meaning everything but boar, has mamashas, and esh should therefore have it too, one would think, to be a mamono. Inami, bornami chashav ispe mamasha dalde kriya sabar mishtana mamasho kark. That's what I was saying a second ago. Meaning to generate the borer, you have to do a mamasho sedika action, right? You have to change the landscape, right? V'nasa cholo, you make the vacuum. Avamokom hiluch shalhebes enu mishtana mimamashuso. V'nasa dolek v'sori, it's all very amorphous. V'imtomer mamono nami leis mabe mamasha. Could go, what about tsroros beruach? You have an animal that it's flapping its wings, and as a result of flapping its wings, nezek takes place. So the wing flapping, is ein ba mamasha, meaning what's generated from that should be kanfeim. Says Tosas Yeshomim to bekomakom gufa mamon shapasha bo isbo mamasha. Meaning the animal, the bird, has mamasha. Just the method of its damage is through flapping of its wings and the ruach that is generated by that. But the mamon shehizik isn't the ruach of the wings. The mamon shehizik is the animal. It's the bird. Right? Sheyesh lishmor mamono shalayazik. Lo beruach v'lo b'shum davar. Ein shumom shalei b'mamasha b'mesha pasha. Aval yesh chet she'ein mamashas kagon shiver kli beruach piv yesh chetz she'ein mamashas kagon shalheves b'lo gacheles, etc. Anyways, you see what's going on here. The point is that for whatever Tosfos is struggling, and other Rishonim say things as well, but there's this, let's take the conclusion for the moment, that Eish is Ein Bo Mamashis. So the question is, what does Reish Lakish say? Just similar to what we just said. So one possibility is, Reish Lakish doesn't deny that Eish is more amorphous and less substantial. He just, again, like we said before, he doesn't think it's legally significant. Who cares? Or is it possible, like we said a second ago by Chitzav, that maybe Reish Lakish agrees that this is a different kind of mamono? It's not exactly like mamono of Shor and Bor. After all, Lesbo Mamasha. But he still thinks it's more mamono than it is Chitzav. In which case, we're bridging the gap already. In other words, what I call the moderate chitzav and the moderate mamono end up being a lot closer to each other. Because in both cases, it's kind of adam al yedei ha'esh. Do you want to emphasize the adam part or the al yedei ha'esh part? But either way, adam al yedei ha'esh is less than chitzav shal adam mamish, and it's more than mamono shal adam, esho shal adam, right? So it becomes a much more, or maybe this bridging of the gap only takes place later. Anyways, the Gemara goes on to try to suggest nafkamina.
What's
yeah.
To do with Avnu Satinu Masol?
What about it?
That's mamish, and that's a total beish.
Well, I guess that's true, but I guess the ruach. Well, it's interesting. This in light of what I said last week. Last week I noted that the ra'ah, and we'll get back to it on daf samech. But Aleph, we have it here in the sheets, in the last entry, and Reb Chaim and Hoshkenim was of the opinion that Avonos Akino Maso, according to everybody, is Esho Mishum Mamono, not Esho Mishum Chitza. Okay, that's this line. Look at line 15 on page 3. Umistaber Nami, everybody have that? Page 3, line 15. Mistaber nami davanos akino maso sheinichan barosh gago v'naflu baruach mitzuya v'heziku d'chashvinan tolda de'esh leka l'michshvinu chitzav ela mamono. Okay, we'll talk more about it. So actually, it's an interesting point. It depends what you mean by leisbe mamasha. I mean, if leisbe mamasha doesn't mean the combination of, the object and let's say kochacham urabo, which you do have in Avonos Akino Maso, but it means kind of what Rashi was saying, which is the amorphousness of the insubstantiality, let's say, of the Eish itself. So your point is, well, that's not really true in Avonos Akino Maso. So I'm saying in Ochanami, but isn't the Ra'ah saying that even Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Avonos Akino Maso is Eish Mishim Mamono? So I don't know if it's only the Maskana that these are not mutually exclusive ideas, or maybe what you're saying is true, maybe even at this point in the Gemara, because it's more mamosho and it's less chitza. That's an interesting point. But again, this is just to make it clear. This Ra'ah is a very, very outlying Shita. Reb Chaim thinks that there's a pshat in the Rambam, but that's very creative. And he doesn't quote the Ra'ah, but that's very creative. Most people don't read the Rambam that way. I was raising the question last week, you know, and if it's true, so why is Vanasakina Maso Ki Yotzid Ba'avesh, according to the Ra'ah and Reb Chaim? After all, you know, the whole avenue of Eshem Shemchitza, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, you know, I would think Ein Lecha, Ein Kiyotzebo, Gedola, Mizu, right? So maybe we'll get back to that, but that's also something to think about. But I think, in light of your question, at least we should note the Ra'ah and Reb Chaim. Okay, so let's continue. So what's going to happen now in the Gemara, I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as we can, but the Gemara at this point feels that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as I said last week and again today, at this point the Gemara, until another daf from now, the Gemara thinks that these are mutually exclusive views, as we just discussed. Because Rabbi Yochanan said it's not Mamona, because Leis B'Mashasha, and Reish Lakish said it's not Chitzav, because it isn't Chitzav, right? So the Gemara is going to try to prove Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, assuming that they are mutually exclusive, that one does not hold the other, and it's going to try to demonstrate, you know, that there are enough. It's going to do this based on assuming that there are significant nafgaminas between them. Now, what's interesting is that the nafgamina of Rashi, which Tosis rejects, that doesn't appear at all in the Gemara. I mean, that would have been, maybe there's a raya one way or another. But in the end of the day, that's the one that the Gemara doesn't mention. For Rashi, there's an extra nafgamina. Right, and that is, you need to be that Eshem Shemamono requires Bailos, and Eshem Shemchitzav does not. But the Gemara doesn't have that. What are the nafkaminas of the Gemara? And then one of the things we're going to have to at least raise is, in the Maskana of the Gemara, where the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan, at least for Rabbi Yochanan, Mamono and Ish and Chitzav are not totally mutually exclusive. We'll see what we mean by that. What happens to these nafgamina? Because what we'll see is that the Gemara substitutes another nafgamina. In the end of the Gemara is going to say again, like, Ma'ika Benayu. And it's going to come up with a new nafgamina that we haven't heard from of till now, and that is Chavala. Okay, but till now, there's no Chavala. But you just wonder, and this is the question that Rashi asks, we'll see inside in a minute. And Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, Rashi and Tosis and all the other Rishonim, which is like we just spent a whole daf talking about nafkamina. What do you mean now? What would money mean by nafkamina? Right? We changed our mind about one little point, presumably. Namely, whether Rabbi Yochanan can live with a category called Eshem Mishum Mamona. Why does that affect the nafkaminas between these two categories? In which case, what's the Gemara? Why is all of a sudden the Gemara like rediscovering America? Right? But until we get to that, our nafkamina. What are the nafkaminas in the Gemara? So the Gemara says as follows. Okay, why is this sugya here on Chav Beis Amid Aleph in the middle of the second parak? Right? It should really be in the sixth parak, which is where the extensive discussions of Eish are. The answer is because of this first raya. So it goes back to, if you just look very quickly on Chav Aleph Amid Beis, to this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hakele v'hagadish akoftu mirosh agag v'shavrus hakele mishal nezik shalem b'nei shehin muadim. Okay, that's not a part that we need, but we need the next part. Hakele v'shanatol charara, so an animal, a dog, he grabs a charara, right, a piece of bread, which includes a gachelas in it. V'holach ligadish, right, and then he walks over to the, or he trots over to the to the gadish of the tfua. Ochal charara, when he eats the bread or whatever it is. Vihidli kagadish, and he also, you know, by transporting the flame, you know, he sets fire to the gadish. So the Mishnah says, ala charara mishalim yazik shalim. Charara is shein, basically, right? The animal eats the neighbor's, you know, property. Right, and this is not Rishus HaRabin. He went in to Rishus HaYachid to get this Charara. V'ala Gadish, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. As for the Tvua, he only pays Chatzi Nezek. Now, obviously, that's always a little challenging. I mean, where does Chatzi Nezek come in? Right, why Chatzi Nezek? Imanushak. Let him be Chayv, let him be Potter. Why Chatzi Nezek? Ah. So the Gemara says here, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says here the following. Tanan, Hakelev, should not, that's why this whole sugya is here. Tanan, Hakelev, Shanat al Harara, Vechule. Ah. Bisham of the Mandamar, Eshim, Shim Chitzav, Chitzav the Kelevu. So this is the first nafkamina. Right? El Mandamar, Eshim, Shim Mamono, Hai Esh, Lav Mamono, the Baal Kelevu. Ah. Meaning, why? Look at Rashi for a second. Rashi will explain. One second. Chitz of the Kelevu, the Havale Tzroros, right? Hilkach Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, Ba'adam Amadlik, Mishim Hochi Chayv Nezek Shalem, She'ein Din Tzroros, Ba'adam. Oh. Meaning, so this is what Rashi, this is how Rashi initially at least interprets. That is, why do you pay only Chatzi Nezek for the Gedish? The animal ate the charara, so that's shein, yichayv nezek shalem, for that, that's fine. And he burnt down the fellow's crops. Right? But what do you mean he burnt down the fellow's crops? He didn't burn down, the animal didn't burn down the crops. I mean, the animal carried the fire burnt the crops. So if this were Adam, right, we would say that's chitzav. And in whole days of Shem Chitzav, you'd say that was Chitzav Shel Adam. And Chitzav Shel Adam is treated kind of like Adam HaMazik, and he would be Chayim. However, in an animal, right, as we've encountered this halakha already, there's something called Tzroros. Meaning if the animal puts an effect, if it's Koach HaBehema, essentially, the animal's walking and, you know, something ricochets, puts its foot down, and then something ricochets and... And, you know, the ricocheting object, you know, turning into a projectile damages a property. What do the animal do? The animal says, that's koach a behema. That's called tsroros. Tsroros is chayiv chatzi nezek. So what the Gemara is saying is that if you hold esho mishum chitzav, so it's like an animal kicked. It's like the animal's koach. It's like the chitzav shel abehema. And that's troros, or nechayiv chatzi nezek. So the eish is chitzav shel ha-kelev. That's troros, or nechayiv chatzi nezek. But if you hold eisho mishum mamono, right, so it, the eish doesn't belong to the kelev, or to the bala kelev, right, it belongs to the bala charara, who's totally innocent, because his dog just came and grabbed his... you know, his coal. Right? That's what these words mean. One more time. Hakel shenot harara bishlomo lemanda amar. Again, the Gemara is trying to explain where you get chatzi nezek. Bishlomo lemanda amar eshem shem chitzav. Chitzav the kelevu. Right? That's like koach hakelev. Because esh is koach. And therefore it's troros, and therefore it's chatzi nezek on the fire damage. El lemanda amar eshem shem mamono ha-esh. Lav mamono de bala kelevu, why should the owner of the kelev pay for the damage, for the fire damage? It's not his fire. This has nothing to do with Rashi and Tosis, by the way. Because the point is, it's not the kelev's, you know, he didn't do the damage with the fire, his little dog did, or his big dog did, his dog did. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amr lach Reish Lakish." You know, all Reish Lakish say, there's a Mishnah. If the Mishnah says that fire damage generates chatzi nezek, why doesn't that prove that it's chitzav, that it's tzroros? Says Reish Lakish, "Hachem b'mayaskinon da'adye aduye." Maybe the case is not where the animal just lit up, you know, the animal is responsible for spreading the fire consumed the Gadish. Rather, the animal threw, he went, you know, and he threw the coal onto the Gadish. That's Aduye Adya, meaning that's Troros. Rashi here says either it's Troros, right, and therefore it's Chatzi Nezek, right, or it is in the category of Tam, because Mishuna. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Daduya Adya Shazarko, therefore, just look back to the Gemara, Dal Charor Mishalim Nezek Shalim, because that's Shane, Al Makom Gacheles, right, where it hits, right, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, because that is Tsroros, but it's not Tsroros because of the Chitzav, of the Eish. It's Tsroros because the animal threw it. Right? Like that's a classical Tsroros. Right? Biala Gadish, what about the fact that it spreads from there? What is that? That's only Mamono. And it's not Mamono. The answer is Ala Gadish, Kula Pater. The Mishnah that says Chatzi Nezek didn't mean the whole Gadish. It meant the Makom HaGacheles. Rashi explains, Al Makom Gacheles, Makom Shenafal Gacheles Sham, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, the Tsroros Ein, Bakelev Asan, he did the Tsroros. Or, Lishnachrina de Mishunahu. That's like short time, because how often do you see, you know, a Kelev, you know, that can throw, a Gacheles, like a Sandy Koufax Kelev, you know. So, you know, and get, you know, get it to do that. So, okay. V'Rabbi Yochanan, Danuche Anuche. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the case is not a case where the animal threw it. The animal placed it down. Ala Harara, you pay Nezek Shalem. Al Makom Gacheles, you also are Mishalem Nezek Shalem. That's not even Tsroros, that's just the animal putting it where it was. V'Ala Gadish, Mishalem Chatzi Nezek, because of Chitzav de Kelev, which is Tsroros. Okay? So the point is that the first, there's no proof one way or another, because we can solve it according to both parties. What the takeaway from this Shakavatari of the Gemara is that the first nafgamina that the Gemara is acknowledging, in terms of if you hold Eshem Shem Chitzav or Eshem Shem Mamono, is Esh Al Yedei Behema. Is Esh Al Yedei Behema, right? Nothing. If you hold Eshem Shem Mamono, right? Because there's no Bailin to talk about. I don't mean, again, nothing with Rashi and Tosis, right? Or Esh Al Yedei Behema is Tsroros, because it's Koach HaBehema. Again, there's also an interesting assumption here, and that is that if you hold, which is not challenged, that if you hold Eshem Shem Chitzav, that there's no difference between Adam and Caleb. I mean, there is a difference in the sense that Adam Yechayv Nezek Shalem, and Tsroros Shalem, you're always Chayv Chatzi Nezek. One could have said that Gufa, whether or not Eish is considered Koach, maybe it's considered Koach Adam, it's not necessarily considered Koach Kalev. So, I mean, you could totally understand why the Gemara, you know, does project from one to the other, but it's peculiar to me that no one suggested that this the way that we look at, and this is particularly, I think, interesting, again, if you think that the threshold of what constitutes koach objectively includes even davar demimela the mazik meirachok, to use Rashi's language, so then, you know, in the end of the day, why should we care whether it's an Adam or a Kela? But especially if you think that this isn't really Adam a mazik, right, and it's just, you know, it's the, you know, the most proximate to it, again, it's Adam al yedei ha'esh, you know. So I don't necessarily think that because there's a category called Adam al yedei ha'esh, there's also a category called Kelev al yedei ha'esh. Here, the difference between a thinking man and a, right, you know, and an animal.
A step further.
What?
You're just moving it a step further out.
Yeah, right. So I would have thought that there should be, you know, someone who makes this distinction. In the Rishonim, we don't find it. I can't say we don't find it anywhere. In the Gemara, they assume that this is the case. Anyway, the first nafkamina then is chitzav tsroros shel behema. That's nafkamina number one. Okay. Then the Gemara tries to find another raya. Toshma. Gomel Ta'un Pishkan. Okay, so you have this camel. Right, it could have been any animal, doesn't make a difference, but camel which is dragging a load, carrying a load of Pishtan, the Avah Rishis HaRabim, and it passes through, you know, the Rishis HaRabim, the main thoroughfare. And Nichnasa Pishtano, again, it's, you know, this heavily laden with this burden, you know, and it's moving through Rishis HaRabim. And some of the Pishtan obviously sticks out, right? And as it moves through, Nichnasa Pishtano Letoch HaChanus. So, you know, they have these stalls, I guess, that was the Chanus. And it catches fire from inside the Chanus. Vidolko, right? Benero shel chenvani, and it catches fire from the fire that is burning inside the store. Okay, and then this fire, right, vihidlik asabira, ends up, you know, burning down some like major building, you know, in the vicinity. Ah. So the halacha is that bal gomel chayv. That in that circumstance, the balagamal, that's the nair, is inside the shop. So the chenvani didn't do anything wrong. The balagamal is going to bear the chiyuv. But hiniya chenvani nair v'bechutz, if the chenvani puts his fire outside the shop, meaning in the Rishus HaRabim, then chenvani chayv. Okay, and then there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim here. Is each one chayiv chetzi? Are we talking about half, whole? Okay, we're not going to get into that right now, even though it's very interesting. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'ner chanukah patur. Right, this is one of the rare gemaras that speak about, you know, ner chanukah, outside of Shabbos. That if it's ner chanukah, so anyway, people are lighting outside, and there's an expectation that that will happen, and therefore people have to be more careful. And this is the right, mitzvah, in fact, you know, to be madlik vibachutz, right? So b'ner Chanukah, you even the chen when he puts it outside, it'll be pato. Fine, he'll be pato. So the Gemara says bishom l'mandam eshem shem chitzav. Once again, chitzav the gamalhu. So you'll pay chatzi nezek because if you hold eshem shem chitzav, right? So this is considered chitzav the gamal. Okay. Same exact idea as before, just a different case. Elamandar Mshum Mamono, right? Hi Aish Lav Mamono the Balagamal who. Why is the Balagamal gonna pay for the Aish? Right? It's Aish that belongs to the Khenvani. Now the Khenvani's not Bichayev because he didn't do anything wrong. Right? But if it's Aisha Mshum Mamono, the point is that the Gamal, right, is the one who picked up this Aish. It doesn't belong, dinamamanus-wise, to the Bala Gamal. Why should he pay half? Says the Gemara, Amalach Reish Lakish, Shachar Ma'eskin B'Mesach Sechas. Right? B'Mesach Sechas, Kol Abira Kula. Maybe the case is a case where the Gamal, directly alights the entire Bira. In other words, instead of, you know, the animal, you know, then at some point, you know, makes contact with fuel, you know, that then spreads the fire to the Bira, right? So there's another process, the process of Aish involved. What we're talking about here is that you have this walking inferno. The Gomel is a walking inferno. And, you know, he brushes against the Bira, and the fire isn't spreading. The fire is just burning from the Gomel, you know, directly in contact with the Bira. Right? If that's the case, so that's not called Esha Mishum Amono. That's called, you know, Nezek Al Yidei. That's a Tzroros, even. Right? That is just... So even if you hold Esha Mishum Mamono, you don't need Chitzav. Right? That's Hezek Behemto. Okay. Says the Gemara, Yahachim a Seifa. But the Seifa says, Eminia Chenvani, Nerimi Bachutz, that the Chenvani is Chayiv. Vim Besak Seches, Amai Chayiv. If it's mesachseches, then the Baal Hagomel should be chayiv, even when the chenvani puts his ner b'chutz, because in the end of the day, it's still the gomel, which is directly, instead of the gomel eating the bira or kicking it down or destroying it in some other way, it's just, you know, lighting it on fire, but not as a process, but directly. Says the Gemara, Bisha Amda. The case is a case, Bisha Amda, where the animal stops. Says the Gemara, Amda. The Sichsecha, Koshken de Chenvani Pater. What do you mean? The animal shouldn't be stopping in front of the bira and, you know, putting it directly on fire. That's more of a reason to be poter, the balachanus, and to be mechayev, the balagam. Says the Gemara, balagam ochayev. Says the Gemara, amravuna bar manoch, mishmed ravika, achiv mayaskinan, kagon, she'omda lahatil, me'meha. That the animal has to take care of its physical needs. That's an expectation when you transport, you know, animals, or animals transport on your behalf, you know, loads in rishus haravdim, that at some point, you know, it's natural for the animal to stop and to take care of its physical requirements. And that's when this misachseches, unfortunately, that's the bad timing, that's when it was misachseches, call a bira. So because of that, it's not the fault of normally the gomel or the bala gomel, would be faulted if his animal, is burning down a bira. I mean, he should push it to move more quickly. But in this particular case, it's not his fault, and therefore the eish, which comes from which wouldn't have been there had it not been for the negligence of the balachanus who puts it on the outside, right? And therefore the balachanus shares in the chi. Okay, reisha balagomel chayev. That's now the Gemara's concluding. Reisha balagomel chayev deloi boile lafushe betina. In the first case, where the ner is inside the chanus and the bala chanus didn't do anything wrong, so then the bala gomel is going to be chayiv because, right, he shouldn't have overloaded his gomel so much that it catches fire, that the flax sticks out, you know, and enters into the rishus hayachid of the chanus, and therefore he's totally liable. And seifa chenvani chayiv deloi boile lanuche nero meabroi. In the second case, he's chayiv, meaning the balachanus, because he shouldn't put his nair on the outside, right? With the exception, of course, of Hanukkah, where he has the right to do that. Okay, so far, basically, well, I'm not going to go into more detail with these, but we still have one. We don't have any raya one way or another for Rav Chanan Lakish. Everybody can read the sugya whatever way they want, but what we do have, what we walk away from so far, is that in Afkamina between Eishim Shemchitzim and Eishim Shemamono is the question of, is there a category called Chitzav the Kelp? If your animal, right, triggers a fire, and it's a fire that spreads, not Mokomagacheles, not Mesachseches, you know, Kula, that's not what we mean when we talk about Eish. Even the Manomer Eishim Shemamono will agree that that's called the direct Hezek of the Behema. But if we're talking about chitzav shel behema, a fire started by your animal, so if you hold eishim shumamono, that should be patur, right? That's a fire that started or that is connected to you is chayim, but not a fire of your animal, right? And if you hold eishim shumchitzav, that's called tsroros. Okay, so again, treating eishim shumchitzav as tsroros is certainly consistent with the view that this is kind of an adamam, it's real kocha. Okay. Then the Gemara comes up with a second effort, or third raya, but a second type of raya, and this is the question we'll see in a moment, bepashtus, we might have to revise it, of komle medraba. So the Gemara has the following. Toshma, this is a Mishnah later on, in Perek HaKones, hamadlik es hagadish, so a person sets fire to to stalks, to tenua. V'haya gedi kafuslo. Have to be careful of the cases here. There was an animal that was tied to this gadish, and as he puts fire to this tenua, and the animal is tethered and can't escape. right? The Eved Samachlo. And there's also an Eved, right, which is in proximity. The Eved is not tied up. The Eved could run away. Right? V'nisrafimo. But for some reason he doesn't. So you have the produce that burnt down, right? The Nebuch, the poor Gedi, an even bigger Nebuch, I guess. You know, the Eved. Right? They both don't survive the flames. A hypothetical case. Right? So the halacha is chayiv. Meaning you are chayiv not for the Eved, because the Eved could have run away, he's a bardas, but you're chayiv for the Gedi. Okay? Oh. Eved kaf was slow. Let's say you have the opposite. The Eved is tethered or tied up, and Gedi is samuchlo. The animal could run away, he's not tied up, and he could run, he's nearby. V'nisrafimo, and both of them again get destroyed in the fire. So the halacha is that he's potter. He doesn't pay for the Gedi, and he doesn't pay for the Gadish either, because the Eved burnt in the fire. Now, but Pashtus, even though the Gemara does not use this expression yet, they're going to use it in a minute, and Rav Elvel noticed this in a piece which we'll make reference to in the Kiddushei HaGriz in Hilchos Rotzeach. Even though it's not mentioned here, most of the Rishonim who talk about it say that the reasoning, that's why is it that if the Eved is kafuus, that you're potter even on the Gedish, come lebedrava minei, because you're involved in a capital crime, killing of the Eved, right? And therefore, the Dine Mammon is part of this. The Gedish is eclipsed by that, right? And that's Kol Lebedrava. So the Gemara now is analyzing this. It says the Gemara, Bishlam Laman Damar Bishim Mishim Chitza. This is very, very important. Bishlam Laman Damar Eshim Mishim Chitza, right? Mishim Hachi Patur. If we hold that Esho is Mishim Chitza, now we're not talking about animals lighting fires anymore. This is not Chitza Shel Kel, we're back to Chitza Shel Adam, right? Not Chatzi Nezek, we're talking about real. So what the Gemara is saying as follows. If the Adam's burning, right, his Eish here is Chitzav, then Mishim Hachi Potter. Why? So Rashi says, come live a me night. One second, hopefully. Eved Kafaso Gedi Samachlov and Isrimo Potter. Agadi the Agadish. You're potter for the Gedi and the Gadish. The Kamle Bidraba Mine. Shahoriko Eved Nerag, the Sidna Kominake. Okay, we'll leave the Gedi part for now, that's a different issue. But okay. El Alamanda Amar Ishim Shumamono. But remember, he lit this fire. The fire burnt down the Gadish, and it sounds like Chagaja, and it also killed the Eved, right? So what's his liability? What is that? So if you hold Eshem Shumamono, says the Gemara, am I potter? Why shouldn't he pay for the Gadish? I mean, it was a tragedy that he burnt down the Eved, and he basically is responsible for the death of the Eved, right? But he didn't take a sword and kill him, right? He did it through Esh. Ilu Kotal Turah, I should say, right? Turei didei, Turei avda, sorry, hachanami velo mechayev. Let's say his animal, right, killed his Eved. Right? You would say, kam lebedrava minei? The only time we ever say, kam lebedrava minei is when there's a maisa ha'adam, a maisa rotzeach, or a maisa misa. You have to be careful here in our language. Right? So, if you hold Eshem Mishum Chitzav, that's what the Gemara says. One more time. The Gemara says, Bishum Alamadam Eshem Mishum Chitzav, Mishum Achi Patur. Right? And Rashi's adding, Kom, and all Rishonim. Kom Lebed Rabba Mine. Because Chitzav is Adam Hamazik, or Adam Harotzeach in this particular case. Elaman Da Amar Eshem Mishum Amono. But if it's not Adam, it's sure. Am I potter? Ilu katal turei avdei if a shor was killed a man and in the process also caused him a financial loss, right? Hachanami lo mechayev, you'd apply kamli bedrabim minay for a maisa shor. So the Gemara says, no, no raya. Amalach Rav Shimon Lakish. Achemayaskinan kishehitzitz begufo shol eved. And here the Gemara uses the expression de kamle bedrabaminei, meaning, or Rish Lakish will tell you that the case is a case, not where he neirachok, you know, lit a fire, you know, which ate up the gadish and destroyed the eved. That's not what happened. He torched this eved, right? As we saw before. Before we saw it with Misachseches, or if it's actual or Bebakom Gacheles, right? That's not called. You don't need Eishem Mishum Chitza for that. Even the Mandomer Eishem Mishum Mamona will agree that that's my Sahadam. Here, the Gemara uses the expression Kamle Bedrab. And why am I making that? That it's just an interesting point in that when you read the Shach of Atari, the Gemara, you're just struck by it a little bit. Because if you hold Eishem Shemchitzov, then it's Kamli Bedraba Minei, and that was the point, right? So again, this is a diuk that Rav Velvel makes in Hilchos Tzeach, trying to argue that you have to reread this Gemara a little bit. It doesn't mean what it says, that the Eishem Shemchitzov is not Midin Kamli Bedraba Minei. It's Midin something else, so it's in Kofar. But what the Gemara is saying is, if there's really Adam Amazik, Begufo Mamish, that's called Kamle Bedraba Minei. But Eishem Shemchitza is something a little less than that. If we get a chance, we'll analyze it. This, of course, goes to the heart of our question. Right? What do we mean when we say Eishem Shemchitza? So the first nafkamin in the Gemara was Tzroros, Chitza Shel Behema. The second one is either Kamle Bedraba Minei, according to almost all Rishonim, or Rav Elvel's reading of the Rambam, something a little less than Kamle Bedraba Minei, but still much more than Eisha Mishim Mamona. Yeah?
By sending Eish to the Eved directly, it doesn't tell you the sequence of whether he started that first and then he brought it down the rest of the stuff. In the other cases, he set fire to the stack first.
So this is a big issue. I don't want to get into it right now. In Achanami, it's a very good point. The Rajba discusses it. And the Rashash and the Xos and a whole bunch of them. In general, what is the in Kabbalah Midrabah?
Sequence counts.
Right. Does sequence count if you have like a process? Do the things have to? Does the Mammon and the Nefashos need to be simultaneous? Is it better if it's if it's Misa Kodem a Mammon or Dafka Mammon Kodem a Misa? Like, when do we consider process? This is connected to also Sugi and Ksuvis, where the Gemara talks about, Zarak Chetz, like he throws an arrow. Vekara Shirayim Bali Chaso, like he does damage to, and then it ends up, in killing somebody. So this is the question there also. And then they talk about Hotzah, Akira Tzorach Hanacha, in the third parak of Ksuvis. So this is a very big debate. The Talmud Ramban, the Talmud Rashba of Rashir, and the Ravun, and the Ksos, and the Rajba, a lot of Rishonim talk about that. I'm not going to get into that right now because it'll take us too far afield from what we need to do right now, but you're 100% right. There are issues. And there totally could be a difference between Kishahitzis, Begufa, Shaleved, and a process like Eish. You're absolutely right.
Does this have anything to do with 5 minutes of Shaleved over here?
Yes. Well, I mean, oh yeah, no, I mean the whole revival is based on Tanu de Bechizkia and 100%, it is connected. Okay, says Gemara Yochi Maila Memra, like if it's really Hitzis Begufa Shaleved, then where's the Chiddush in this Mishnah? That's obvious that's Kamlei Bedraba meaning, right? Says the Gemara Lo Tzricha Begedid Echad the Eved Echad. I'm not going to get to that also, but there's a whole Tosis here. But This is, I'll just take 1 minute on it. What does it mean? Typically, Kamle Bedraba Minei is a case where what? Where you have one owner, or one victim rather, but two crimes. Right? You destroyed his property and you killed him, or you did some capital offense connected to him. Here, well, it says in Gemara, we're talking about a case. So there's Bigadi Dechad Ve'Eved Dechad. Okay, you destroyed the Eved, you know, that belongs to Reuven, or the Eved belongs to himself, whatever it is. And you also destroyed the Gedish of Shimon. Right? So there are two victims. Do you say Kamalim Dravani when there are two victims? So this Tosas here, and the parallel Tosas in Sanhedrin and other places, Bigdi Dechad, Ve'Eved Dechad, points out there seems to be a stira in Shas in this question. There are different Gemaras. Some Gemaras seem to say, you say Kamalim Dravani even in the, you know, when the Mamun is La'echad and the Nefashos of La'acher. And there are others that seem to say only when they're together. And they have like four different three Shitas and Tosas here, and then again, the Rabban. Like, when do you say which? So I'm just going to, if we get a chance at some point, we'll discuss it, but I don't want to, you know, take the time right now. But let me just say in broad terms, as we've talked in the past, and even this year we talked about it because we had the Tosas on the Dalet Amud Aleph, where Tosas talks about the relationship between Kofar and Kamalei B'Drabba Mina. That's part of the discussion. And you mentioned Tana D'Mechizkia. There are basically two big perspectives on Kamalei B'Drabba Mina. One is what I call the subsuming approach, where we're kind of saying that, you know, if you're getting, you know, the death penalty, so we're not going to make you pay because, you know, B'chla Masai Mana, you're getting the most severe penalty anyway. So, you know, it's as if, you know, the extra check isn't going to add anything. It's like included. To say subsuming or something like it, you can't say that if it's Misa Le'echad and Momo La'acher. Because the other party doesn't get their justice. Right? However, there's a lot of evidence for what I call the eclipsing view of Kamalei B'Drabba Mina, which basically is the idea that, you know, when you're involved in a more chomor aveira, a capital crime, so the monetary aspects of it are kind of eclipse, they're besides the point. On a Mechayev level. Meaning, you know, you shot an arrow into his heart and, you know, and you ruined his best shirt. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're going to discuss whether you have to launder the or fix the shirt. You know, it's not just trivial and you're getting the death penalty, so you're getting satisfaction. The family's getting satisfaction without the laundry, though. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that part of it is just doesn't even legally register. It's obscene, you know, to be considering, right, the monetary aspect here. It just doesn't. It becomes insignificant, inconsequential. That applies, even if it's mamon lechad nefashos. And that's really kind of the idea of Tana d'Bechizkia in a bigger way. Because what is the idea of Tana d'Bechizkia? Tana d'Bechizkia says, Chai be misas shogigin peturin. Meaning, when you have a Kamalei B'Drabba Mina case, where lemaisa befoal, the guy's not going to get the death penalty. Because he's shogig. Right? So why shouldn't we charge him? And Tana d'Bechizkia said, nonetheless, Chai be misas. Right, shogegin, if you're in a case of chiv miso where you happen to be a shogeg, i.e. you're not getting the death penalty, it's only a case which had you done b'mezid u'bahasro, you would have been getting it, right? You still don't pay the money. Nobody's getting any satisfaction in that case. You can't talk about subsuming. Right? But what you could say is that, you know, even though it's shogeg, it's still a maisa ratzach, or a maisa Misa, right? And it still eclipses, you know, the Tzad Mamon Shibo. So that is, I think, really what's going on, and that some of the criteria that are applied to Bigadi Dechad and Avda Dechad have to do with that question, the different types of Kamalei B'Drabba Mina. Anyways, let's continue. I know I'm just a little time, but this will take another 2 minutes just to finish up this Shaka Vataria. So now we have two big Nafka Minas. We have, if you count Rashi, it's three. Rashi has Mamono, Bailus, right? Tosus denies it. You have Chitz of the Kalev and Tsroros, right? Those are the two other two first two cases in the Gemara. Now we have Kamalei B'Drabba Mina or something like it. Okay, that's the third case. Then the Gemara has a fourth, and that is called Tzavta de Cheresh. The Gemara says as follows. Toshma, Hashalech Sabir Biad Cheroshot V'Katan, Potter B'dinei Adam V'Chai B'dinei Shamayim. If you, try to torch somebody's property, or you send a fire in the hands of a Cheroshot V'Katan, an incompetent person, by virtue of age or mental capacity, etc., Potter B'dinei Adam V'Chai B'dinei Shamayim. Okay, so for our purposes now, the important part is Potter B'dinei Adam. Okay, you're not chayv for that. You're not chayv legally. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alaman dar me'eshim b'shem chid, is another nafkamina, right? Chitzav the chayreshu. If you hold eshim b'shem chitzav, so that the chayresh being in charge of this eish, it's the chayresh's action. That's what gets you off the hook. Because it's ma'isa chayresh, and therefore it usurps any role that you had. You gave the flame to the chayresh. Right? But he's the one who ignited the thing. So it's ma'isa chayresh. But, let's say it's eshem shem mamono, right? So, by giving this mamono to somebody who can't be shomer properly, that's like giving your shore, to a katan. Right? You would be chayiv. Maybe that it makes the circumstances matter. If you give him a gacheles, a charcoal or whatever, a coal, the leva, right? And then he, fans it, as it was innocent when he gave it to him, if not for his action. Av amasal shalheves, but giving him a shalheves, a flame, right, already, chay, my time, a bari azeka. Because that, doesn't require any additional action, and also the prospects of it being destructive are clear. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu shalheves potter. Even if you give him a shalheves to the chereshot of a katan, your potter. Even though it's bari azeka. The halacha we may paskin differently. The Rama actually paskins that it's considered bari azeka. And even though he paskins eshem v'shem chitzav, he paskins that in this case the other fellow would be chayim. That's an interesting point. But bepashta, so the Gemara here, the Gemara sticks with that. Kasavar tzavta the cheresh kagarim. Lo b'chayim, the only time Rabbi Yochanan will ever agree is Adamasala Gavza Silta Vishrag. Right? He gives him such a potent flame that, the Kheirishota have nothing to do with it practically. Okay. So basically this is a third Nafkamina. You have Chitzav the Behema, you have Kamle Bidrabamine, and now you have Tzavta the Kheirish. The three Nafkaminas between Eshem Shemar Eshem Shem Chitzav. Says the Gemara, Amar Kra, Amar Rava, Kra, just give me 2 more minutes, Umasnita Mesayle Rab Yochan. The Pasuk and the Mishnah both attest to the validity of Rabbi Yochanan's position. Kra, Diksiv, Ki Teitse Eish, Teitse Me'atzma. Right? Teitse has a connotation of passivity. I mean, yeah, the fire goes on its own. Correct? But Yishalim Hamavir is Habeira, right? The phrase Mavir means that it's Kitetse Yesh, but he's the Mavir. So which is it? Shema Mina Eshem Mishem Chitzav. Right? That Esh is considered Chitze Shalom. But it's fascinating if you ask me that there's still a Resha. Right? So it's like, the Seifa tells you Eshem Mishem Chitzav. And the Resha, what? Is this the Hechatimtsi for the Chiddush of the Seifa? Or if you take the more what I call the moderate Eshem Shem Chitzav view, so the Resh and the Seif are perfect. They're telling you a Ketetze Esh al Pidin is considered a Mavir, even though it's Ketetze Esh. It is not a Mamazik, it's just something very proximate to it. Similarly, Masnitan, the Tanya, Pasach HaKosov Benizke Mamono, the Siyam Benizke Gufo. Right, the language of the Mishnah is that the Torah begins with Niske Mamono, meaning Kitetze Esh, the Siyem Ben Niske Gufo. Same idea. Lo Melecha Eshem Shem Chitzav. Okay. So I'm just going to read the two dots very quickly, and then we'll analyze this part next time. This is where the transition comes in. The Gemara says, okay, fine, Amar Rava. So what do we have? We have three nafkamina, and then a support of a pasuk, right, and a language of a Mishnah. By the way, Tosis earlier, and Chabbeis Amar Aleph says, when the Gemara says, why does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Reish Lakish, why didn't the Gemara just say, because there's a kra and a Mishnah, Shemisayeh alone. Right? My answer is, because even though it's Misayeh alone, right, it's a little bit of an ambivalent, you know, Misayeh alone. A little bit of an ambiguous Misayeh alone. Anyways, Amar Rava, Kashale Labaya. Now the pashtus of the Gemara, not the gra, as we'll see, is like this. The Gemara is saying, listen, in Eish there's a special din, and that is tamun, if the object is hidden from sight and it gets burned up in a fire, you're potter for that. Right, just look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ilu Adam Zorek Chetz Vihizik Betamun, right? Lo Mechayev? Benezek, a kaimelon b'hai pirkin petzatachas patzal l'chayv l'shog kemez gavonis karotzo. Meaning, if Esho is mishum chitzal, and Rashi's adding, and that's really out of mamazik, right? Then what? Why is there a p'tur tamun? Right? You chayv even onis karotzo. But the lishna achrini is in the opposite direction. Lishna achrini, hai chetz the olam betamun hu nechnas. Umazik, then Rashi says, Velo Shema. That's the opposite. Meaning, not so much that conceptually Eishem Shemchitzav, you know, doesn't abide a Ptur Tamun. More the idea that if you're going to use the expression Chitzav, then, you know, then how can there be a Ptur Tamun? I mean, in a Chetz always penetrates beneath the surface. That's kind of a technicality, and you know, the proof from the linguistics, right? The first one is saying that it's conceptual, not just a conceptual idea. It's a conceptual idea of Adam. If you look at Tosis again, Tosis is a little bit in between. Tosis says, "Pirish bishlam leman damar eishim b'shem amono ain tema de p'tur tamun." Right? If it's eishim b'shem amono, it's not so much that eishim b'shem chitzav, it's impossible, you know, per se, but it's just much more likely eishim b'shem amono. Right, the Alpha Gav the Bekon. This came Mamono, Kmo Karen Shane Verego Chayv Tamun. What do you mean? Even if it's Mamono, Tamun is not Patur and Mamono. The answer is that's true. But Shebe Mamon Matzino Chilukim BeKaren Shane Verego LeHilchos Seif. There are other, you know, intriguing, not so obvious Pturim LeHilchos Seif that the Gemara really, you know, lists on Hayomid Beis. Alpha Vadam Amazik LeChilak Akasu V'Chsev Pesatachas Patsa. So it's not because it's Adam Amazik per se, but like Adam Amazik, we don't find special dinim. B'darshin b'sof pirkin, right? L'chayv l'shog kemez v'onis karatzon. L'vikhein svara lidrosh eishem shukhiz. Not that it's impossible, but why should you? Again, once again, Tosis is a little moderate. First day of Rashi is very extreme. The second day of Rashi is more than moderate. Anyways, so the Gemara says as follows. How can you get tamun? How can you have a p'tur tamun if you're all the eishim shemchitza? Right, that's the fourth nafkamina. But that's impossible. I mean, what are you going to do? Tamun seems to be a core halacha on eish. Says the Gemara, b'nichale, maybe the case is, k'gon shenafad leka la'osa chatzer, you had a fire, v'nafla gader shalom machas leka, the fire would have been inhibited by the wall, by the fence. The fence fell down not because of the fire, because then it's not a fire. Not a, if it fell down because of the fire, that means it doesn't have the capacity to stop it, and then it's irrelevant. It doesn't have to exist even for our purposes here. It's a fire that is a barrier, and it falls down for some other reason. It gets hit by lightning, somebody smashes into it, it crumbles, and we didn't know that it was a bad wall. Right? V'holchavid lika, so that the fire keeps going. The case is a case. There's no Eishem Shemchitzav because Eishem Shemchitzav depends on its capacity given the reality at the moment that it was triggered. Says the Gemara, Yachilin and Galuinami, Kalalochitzav. So what are we wise that it didn't tamon? Even if it's mazik galui, it should be the same thing. I'm sorry for going over, but just one more minute. Says the Gemara, El Laman Damar Shemchitza of Yisrael, Nami Mishimamono. Here's the transition of the Gemara. Here's for the first time when the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree with Reish Lakish. Now, but Pashtus, all Rishonim Kimat, hold that what this line in the Gemara means is that for Rabbi Yochanan there are two dinim in Eish. There's Eishim Shemchitzav and there's Eishim Shemamono. These are two different aspects. Sometimes the circumstances apply for one, the other, but they're two different dinim. And therefore the case is Kigon, Shahil Alagodav Alagadra. Meaning it's kol lo chitzav, so it's not eshem shum chitzav anymore, but it is still eshem shum amono. If it's eshem shum amono, right, he should be patur because it's not his fault that the gader fell down. The answer is he could build it up again. The ability to build it up again doesn't reignite chitzav. That depends on what happened when he lit the fire. But he is obligated to contain the fire even now because it's mamono. The Hasam Shorohu Velotapach Beape. It's like he has a shore, it's going on a rampage, and he could stop him. So now he has Aish, which is Mamon, he could stop it. Says the Gemara Vikimaach. Oh, so therefore there are two dinim according to Rabbi. That's a simple reading of the Gemara according to Moshe Shon. What I'm going to try to show next time is that the Rambam didn't read it that way. The Rambam understood that every Aish is both Chitzav and Mamono. Not that Eish is either Chitzav or Mamona, depending on the circumstance. That's what we're going to try to show. Says the Gemara, V'chim Acher demand the Islam Mishum Chitzav, Islam Am Mishum Mamono. So if Rabbi Yochanan thinks, let's say according to most Rishonim, there are two dinim. According to the Rambam, if there are always two dinim, so my binayu, what's the difference between them? That's a strange question. So that's Rashi, I'm not going to read it now, and Tosis, I'll ask, what happened to Chitzav Shokelev? And what happened to Chitzav Shokheresh? And what happened to Kamle Bidraba Mine? Right, we had Nafkamina. What are they? According to Rashi, what happened to Mamono? Bailus? All of a sudden the Gemara, you know, forgot all the Nafkamina. They were struck by amnesia. Says the Gemara, another Nafkamina. My Benayu, Ika Benayu, Lechaivu Dala Dvarim, Chabala. You only Benachayv Chabala, Dala Dvarim, if it's Hashem Shemchitzav. Not according to Mano Reshem and Moshe Mamon. So what happened in this transition? For the other Rishonim and for Tosfos, that's what I want to talk about. And for the Rambam, that's what I want to talk about next time. We'll try to finish this. Up.